Okay, today is April 10th, 2013. This is an interview with Jen Kirmer. We are here at the UW-Madison Archives. My name is Troy Reeves, and I'm with the UW-Madison Oral History Program. Jen, for sound quality purposes, could you say your full name and then spell your last name?
All right, Jennifer Kirmer, K-I-R-M-E-R.
Thank you. So, Jen, the first question I want to ask you is, why did you decide to come to UW-Madison?
Well, library school sort of became the goal after I fell into archives during my undergrad at University of Kansas. I applied to four schools, all top 10 at the time, and got into them. When I started corresponding with the schools, all the rest said, pretty much, congratulations, you're accepted, and we'll see you in the fall. Didn't hear another thing. When I got into SLIS, they immediately started sending us things about jobs, places to live, other people in the program. It was very, very clear that it was they were really into student success and really wanted to make the students feel welcome and at home. And that was something I was really looking forward to, especially I'd spent all of my life within 45 miles of where I grew up. So coming here, I wanted something that I could still feel like I had a rather close environment with the people I was working with. So at SLIS, all of the instructors and all the students, we all meshed very quickly because they made us feel very included. So that was one of the things that really drew me to SLIS above the other schools I got into right away.
Okay. Let's back up a second. You said you fell into archives work at Kansas. Do you want to explain how you fell into archives work?
I started working at the Dole Institute of Politics in Lawrence, Kansas, which is the political institute for Senator Robert Dole. All of his political papers are there. I almost applied for a job in the archives, but then I got a job at working audiovisual stuff for their programs. And at the holiday party in 2008, I met some of the archivists and was like, oh, I almost applied there. And then they got me a volunteer job and soon found that they could pay me. And so I started working in the archives, and it really meshed well with all of my interests, especially history and continued access to information, learning and helping people learn about stuff. So archives really meshed well with that. It helped me provide people the things they were looking for and help them learn more about topics that they were interested in. And from there, I worked with them for the rest of my college career. So December 2008 through August of 2011, I was working with them. And it was really, it fit, it something clicked. I really enjoyed it a lot. Mm-hmm. And so from then on, it sort of became what I wanted to do. I was majoring in anthropology at the time, but didn't want to go to grad school for anthropology or history, which I was getting a minor in. So that became something that worked well and gave me another path to follow, since anthropology, I was really interested in it, but didn't want to keep going, didn't want to be a professor or anything like that.
Okay. So what sort of specific things did you do at the Dole Center in Kansas? What sort of archival?
Mainly processing, working with some of their data management systems. That's where I got started working with Archon. We were working to get his legislative papers ready because we had all the papers from 1969 when he first went into politics through the present. He got out of politics in 96 but was very active still from then on. So all of his political papers are there. Some of his wives are there, but they're very active. Bob Dole, well, he's like nearly 90 now, I think, but he's still very active in the World Food Prize and Honor Flight with veterans and things like that. So they had a ton of material, and so I was one of the students that was helping them process collections and get them ready for users.
And thank you for those answers. I appreciate it. So coming to Madison, I've never been to Lawrence, Kansas. You grew up within 45 minutes there. I'm wondering your initial thoughts about Madison and UW-Madison.
When I started talking to people in Lawrence and mentioned that I was most likely going to end up in Madison, they were like, oh, it's a great town. It's like Madison. It's like Lawrence on steroids. And it really is. Lawrence is a town of about 85,000 people when the students are in session. So Madison is much bigger, but it still has a liberal atmosphere. Out of all of Kansas, Lawrence is the one blue spot in a sea of red, as we like to say. It is the only Democratic county in the state. It is the place where many old hippies from the Midwest have ended up. So it was the one liberal atmosphere that I was able to find in Kansas. And coming to Madison, it was just that on a much bigger scale and more liberal,
okay.
Which was a little, it was fun to come to that because it was an environment that I was looking for. Kansas is very conservative overall. I came from a very conservative place. And coming to Lawrence was great, but coming to Madison, it was just everything was more open in general.
So did you choose Lawrence for your undergrad because of its... I mean, you said you grew up 45 mm-hmm. minutes from there, so there must have been sort of the closeness allure, yeah. but the fact that it was a blue dot in a red state?
At the time when I went to college, it wasn't so much that. I initially in high school was going to go into vet med, so I was going to go to Kansas State University, which is west side of Topeka, where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
Lawrence is on the east side. But when I changed from vet med to anthropology, I didn't really have a choice but to change the school I was planning on going to. I was going to stay in-state no matter what because financial reasons and wanted to stay close to home.
Mm-hmm.
But so when I changed my focus of what I wanted to do in college, I pretty much had to change schools. So I decided, ended up going to KU because it was in-state and it had the better anthropology program.
Okay.
But I didn't come out until I got to college, so the liberal atmosphere wasn't so much of an issue until I was actually there.
Okay. So you didn't come out until college. Who did you first come out to?
First, I told one of my roommates, because I was going to tell my best friend, the one guy that I dated in high school for like a month, and he was my best friend at the time. I was going to tell him, but I was too terrified, so I told one of my roommates first, and then I told him a couple days later.
How did the two of them take it?
My roommate responded by giving me a hug and telling me that she was bi.
Okay.
Which was, okay, that works. he kind of had a shocked look, and then we ended up talking about it, and he's been great. He's like a brother to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you involved, or again, I know little or nothing about Lawrence or KU, but were you involved in gay and lesbian activity or activism or clubs or anything at KU?
A little bit. There wasn't much of a big community there. In college at KU, I was mostly involved in music. I was in the marching band for 4 years, pep band for all 4 years. So I was really involved in that, didn't have much time for other things. Mm-hmm. They did have a Queers and Allies group at KU and still do. They're very active now. At the time, it just wasn't really my scene because I didn't know many people in the community. Mm-hmm. Anyone that I knew was in marching band. The 300 of us were our own group outside of everything else. So the few queer people I knew through marching band pretty much.
Okay.
The community in Lawrence was rather small. There was one bar with a gay night where people went dancing. So on Wednesday nights, all the queer people went out to go dance. But that was pretty much all there was in Lawrence for queer people of college age.
Okay. What's the name of the bar? Did you name it?
I didn't Wild hear. Chateau.
Wild Chateau.
Yeah, Wild as in Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
It's a nice place. But they only had one night that was dedicated to a queer population.
Okay. Since we talked about this, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask this in comparison to Madison. As you became, I'm guessing, sort of more comfortable being out,
mm-hmm.
Were there places like the Wild Chateau that you felt comfortable in being who you wanted to be?
Yeah, I think at Chateau on Wednesday nights was definitely a chance to be more active with that. I came out in the middle of my freshman year, and my sophomore year was sort of feeling out the scene in Lawrence, but my junior and senior year I started, and I was just very much out. It was who I was. People in marching band knew. The people who mattered knew. So when my junior and senior year, I was very comfortable within the marching band community and the music community at KU in general because there were a decent number of queer people there, and I knew I could be accepted by all of them. We really were a big family, as cliche as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, Chateau on Wednesday nights was... I went... My junior and senior year, I went a little bit more often, but band was still my main community, and that's really where I felt most comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd be remiss being a college basketball fan if I didn't get to ask a little bit about... I assume then you played at basketball games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any particular games that stand out during your undergraduate career?
For marching band and for football, I went to the Orange Bowl in 2008. It was that January 3rd of 2008. I was in Miami for the Orange Bowl, and then my sophomore year I was in Phoenix for the Insight Bowl, which was they were both really cool. As far as pep band goes, I was in the women's basketball pep band my freshman year, and that was the year that K-State or KU men's basketball went to the national championship and won.
Mm-hmm.
So the women's pep band was in the field house in Lawrence playing for the game that was playing on the Jumbotron, mm-hmm. and all the fans that were in the field house. So we were playing for that, and I remember that one pretty clear. That was a lot of fun. They rushed the court in the field house when we won on the Jumbotron.
I was going to ask, I'm assuming the field house was packed, even though the game was being played on the...
Yeah, the field house only holds 16,000, so it's a pretty compact space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one was a lot of fun. And I was in the men's basketball pep band for 3 years, and I got to go to one of the NCAA tournaments, but it was a year that we got kicked out in the second round, so it didn't go very far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff in marching band like that.
Great. Thanks. So let's jump more into your time here in Madison. So who did you get to know once you got here? Was it folks within the program? Was it other, how did your sort of social sphere start?
Initially, it was very much in the program because these were the only people I knew. So a lot of it was people I met through orientation that first day or two. From there, I ended up seeing somebody from our school, from our program, for a few months, and she was involved with the women's rugby team, the adult women's rugby team, mm-hmm. from Madison. So I started doing more things socially through them, which was sort of helped expand my social circle. There were also a few people in the program, a few queer women that I met, that I was able to sort of meet people through them as well, through different social activities. So it's all started within the program, but branched out from there.
Mm-hmm. So did you play rugby?
I did a little bit of touch rugby over last summer. I never really got too involved with the actual team itself.
Okay.
Yeah. I was mostly just socially involved with their group.
Okay. I think we said this before the recorder was mm-hmm. on, so I think it's probably good to get on the record that, at least I think what you told me was, you came here, you were out. It mm-hmm. wasn't any sort of...
Right.
Some people knew you as...
Yeah. Back home, it was... I had gone through the process of coming out, so people had known that I was out for a long time, and other people that might have known, but we just didn't talk about it, especially with some family in that range. But when I got here, my hair was short. I just started it out. It was kind mm-hmm. of... I remember at orientation, I was talking to somebody, and somehow the conversation got around to something that tangentially related to my ex. So I remember talking about in neutral pronouns for a little bit, and then I was like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to throw it out, and nobody cared. So I started, since I've been here, since August of 2011, I've been out just and completely not trying to hide it. And if anybody knows, they know.
Has there ever been a time period you've been here where either events or people have made you uncomfortable because you're freely out?
Not really. Whenever I start a new job, I usually start by keeping my cards pretty close to the chest. But other than that, I don't really remember much. There was when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed in fall of 2011, I posted something on Facebook that a family friend that I had known for years, I ended up having to defriend because they were posting things that were very, like on my post, they were commenting on it, things that were very anti-gay and saying that the military is going to fall apart because gays can be out. So I ended up having to defriend them. But that was actually people in Madison I haven't really encountered much that made me feel uncomfortable being out.
Okay. And you mentioned keeping your cards close to your chest mm-hmm. at work. I want to talk a little bit specifically about your archival mm-hmm. work here. And first off, your work with housing. Mm-hmm. So how did that all come about, and then what sort of things have you done for them?
Yeah. When I first got here, I had a job with the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and I've been working there since September of 2011. I got the second job with University Housing in October of 2011, I think, October or November. And they just posted something that got put through the rounds at SLIS. Got put on the different listservs, so I found it through there, and I was like, okay, I could use a second job, so I went ahead and applied, and I got that, and the job over there is graduate student archivist, and they hired me specifically to look through their assorted media that they had in their basement collections. So there were photographs and slides and VHS tapes and CDs and DVDs and boxes of stuff that they had never looked through, and they didn't know what was there. So my main project there for the first few months was digitizing about 3,000 photographs and about 2,500 slides, 35 millimeter slides. And so that was my main thing. And since then, I've gone on to various different projects for them. And the big part of that is working as a liaison with the university archives here. And that's how I really got in over here. Yeah, we've been working to make sure that their materials get over here in a timely fashion and are taken care of.
So from late 2011, mm-hmm. you've worked at housing?
Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed to admit I don't remember when we exactly hired you here.
I think it was summer. May 2012 or June.
Okay, so after.
Yeah, it was right
so
at the end of the
first year.
Yeah, right at the end of the first year. I had been talking to Vicky Tobias early in my first year because I knew I wanted to do my practicum here. I'd worked with a number of different types of archives through practicums, but I hadn't been able to work in a university archive yet. So I made sure I contacted her early on to talk about a possible practicum, and we had kept in touch through the housing job. So we were able to figure out something for me over the summer, and that thankfully that's been able to continue up till now. So now I have 3 jobs.
I sort of know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it directly. Mm-hmm. What sort of work have you done for us here at the University Archives?
I've done anything from digitizing audio, cleaning up audio, and then doing a lot of processing of different collections, photograph collections, some manuscript collections. I've been doing some social media stuff lately. I created a history pin project from some of the materials that I got from housing, doing pretty much odd jobs that I can get my hands on. And I did my practicum here last fall, and I was doing work with Born Digital Material, capturing stuff from university websites and social media, the types of things that aren't coming to the archives through the traditional means of getting a box of paper on the desk anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to work with that and create a workflow for how we can bring those materials into the archives since they aren't getting here by the usual ways.
And even though I am, full confession, sort of one of your supervisors here, feel free to be as honest as you want about how you think both the job at Housing and the job at Archives is, we hope, help prepared you for whatever the future holds.
I definitely think both of the jobs have prepared me really well, especially the job at Housing. I've worked with my direct supervisors in the assignments office, but I've also worked with people in the marketing department as well as the director of University Housing. So that's given me a lot of opportunities to have to hone my skills of communication, trying to explain to people what the purpose of the University Archives is or what I'm trying to do over there and what I'm trying to help them do once I leave. Really helping communicate to them that the Archives is here to help them, that we want to help them take care of their materials, but also that students like myself or others, whoever comes after me, are there to help them get the materials they need and help get the resources they need to take care of their stuff, whether they keep the originals or if they transfer them over.
Okay. Right off the bat, you said that UW-Madison was the one school that really sort of recruited you after even accepting you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to ask now how you feel. I just asked about how the job has prepared you. Mm-hmm. How do you feel your education here has prepared you for whatever the future might hold?
Yeah, one thing that I really enjoyed about SLIS as compared to things I've heard from other schools, SLIS, there's a very big component of getting the students on the job training while they're taking classes. Mm-hmm. Like they really help us with practicums or with helping us get student jobs, making sure that we have the practical experience to go along with the stuff that they're teaching us in class. But one thing that the instructors are very, very concerned about students doing well. They want us to be happy with the stuff we're doing, and they want to help sort of create projects around whatever we're interested in. There's a lot of classes that we've had to take that are like digital curation or things like that, that they're archive students, but the class isn't specifically an archives class, and all of the instructors have been very eager to help us create archive-specific projects so we can do stuff that's very relevant to us that we're actually interested in. So I think that one of the best things about the program is the faculty and staff involvement with the students, really helping us do the best we can and helping us be prepared for jumping out of the workforce. Some of the other schools that I've heard about are more theoretical and don't really have that practical aspect. And so one thing that I've really enjoyed about SLIS is that they encourage that, and they really emphasize that it's something that we have to be able to do well in the workforce.
Okay. And I know that also SLIS has a lot of, I don't know if it's a lot, but the students get involved in their own, either groups that were already formed and you become a part mm-hmm. of. And so I don't think I have this on the list, but I'm guessing you'll be comfortable in talking about the groups or committees you've been involved in.
Yeah.
While at SLIS.
I immediately became involved with the student chapter of the Society of American Archivists. I was already was a member of that in undergrad. Towards the end of my senior year, I got I bought memberships for the Midwest Archives Conference and the Society of American Archivists, just so that I could have those professional connections. And we have the student chapter here, so I was involved in that my freshman year and my first year. And the second year, I've been the vice president of that organization, so I've been involved there. But my first year, some of the other queer women in the program, we came together and formed the LGBTQ library group, which is focused on bringing information regarding LGBTQ patrons, focusing on their needs within the library or archival settings. Mm-hmm. So we, along with Carrie Wolfson and a few others, Laurie Steckervetz, and I'm blanking on a couple other names right now, we have been sort of building that, and we're officially a recognized student organization this year, which has been pretty cool because we just developed it all last year. Carrie was really the driving force behind most of it. We've had a lot of great speakers come in. You and David Mills came and spoke about LGBT oral histories, which was fantastic. So that's one group that we're really excited that seems to be gaining some momentum and looks to be, will be continuing on once we all graduate.
How do you feel that being involved in groups like that has prepared you for whatever the future holds?
I think it's helped us sort of build some more relationships within the program, but also give us things to talk about once we get further on. Mm-hmm. We have the experience of building these groups and being involved with them and helping, like if we're in leadership roles or not, it's been something that we can really lean on other people to bring ideas to the table, which is something that I, like having gone through the interview process a few times lately, it's something that I've been able to talk about. That we have the ability to collaborate and communicate with different people and get projects formed and keep them going.
So I want to talk a little bit more about your cohort, specifically sort of as it pertains to your social experience here. And you alluded to it a little bit in the first answer, but I'm interested in, were your cohorts... And did they end up being your friends? Is this, were cohorts where you found sort of your social release, or was it in other places that you found that?
I definitely think a lot of it's in the cohort. We have, like, in the archives track anyway, we all have the same classes together. So that's been something we all have to see each other all the time. So while we are friends, sometimes it is hard to separate the two, friends and classmates. Mm-hmm. But at other times, I think it has kind of been a mix. Like, I was involved in the social scene with the rugby team for a while, but that kind of fell apart towards the end of last summer, so I haven't seen many of them. So I have been leaning more on my cohort this past year for the social side. Yeah.
So I asked you earlier about what places in Lawrence that you felt comfortable. I asked that because mm-hmm. the folks that I interview here, particularly people that are older than you, older than me, when it was a little more problematic to be out... Mm-hmm. Talk a lot about place being important, whether it be a bookstore or a bar or a restaurant. And I'm wondering for you in, 2011 through 2013, were there places in Madison that you felt comfortable, or did you feel that there had to be places in Madison where you felt comfortable?
I think overall coming to Madison, the entire atmosphere felt a little bit more like I could be open than it was back home. Back in Lawrence, you didn't want to walk down the street holding your girlfriend's hand because you get weird looks and it kind of made you uncomfortable just doing that. But here, I haven't had any problem with that. Immediately coming here, it seemed like people were smiling on the street. It was kind of weird. But I think there are, like, in my program, I definitely feel that sense of security and that safe space. But Plan B, the bar up on Willie Street, is mainly the place. If I go dancing anywhere, that's where I've gone. I enjoy going there. It's a place where it's one of the only gay bars I've seen where the bouncers will actually throw out people who are making other people uncomfortable. Like often the bar back home, there would be some straight men there that would hit on people in the bar just to make them uncomfortable or not respecting boundaries, and they would never really get thrown out, no consequences. Mm-hmm. At Plan B, I have a number of times, if you complain to a bouncer, people will get removed. They want to make sure that it is a safe space where you feel that, mm-hmm. and I've really enjoyed having that here. Yeah, but I think the program has been a great place. So,
Since we don't know who's going to listen to this and when, and you know, and people of the 70s and 80s talk about Hotel Wash. Is this, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about, you know, personally about Plan B, you know, what you know of it, what sort of things happened there, at least have happened there when you've been there.
Yeah, I have one person who I met through the rugby team who does drag there every now and then, and they have a lot of drag shows. They have some really good DJs come in, so they really try to make it a place where people can go dance. And it's not specifically a gay bar. It definitely is leaning towards the LGBT clientele, mm-hmm. but it is an open space for whoever wants to come in. I think I went there very early on with some people that I met through Sliss, one of the Lori Steckervets, actually. I went there the first time with her, like the first couple of weeks I was in Madison. And it just felt like a space where I could go have a drink or I could go dance and hang out with people. And it was a comfortable space. Yeah.
Okay. What about activism? You're part of this SLIS LGBTQ group. You mentioned that you posted, something on your mm-hmm. Facebook after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was mm-hmm. rescinded. Do you have other examples of your activism within gay and lesbian issues or gay and lesbian rights while you were here?
I think one of the biggest things that people are doing as far as activism, that anyone really who's out, is being out and being open about it. My father is a friend of mine on Facebook, and he's very conservative, but he loves me because I'm his daughter, and I'm still going to post things on Facebook, like the Prop 8 and DOMA trials that are in front of the Supreme Court right now. I'm still going to post things about it. I'm still going to be open about it. One of the things that I find, it's not a big thing, but it's some level of activism, it's just not hiding, being very vocal about my beliefs and being able to back them up with solid reasons. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in favor of gay marriage because I'm with someone now who I hope to marry someday. So things like that. Other than the LGBTQ library group, which I think has been a great thing, it's really raised some awareness within our own program. I think there might have been an organization like this a few years before we got here, but there really wasn't any group dedicated to LGBTQ issues in libraries and archives, and that's one thing we really want to raise awareness about. But yeah, I think just my being open with who I am and being able to be comfortable with who I am has been my form of activism, I guess.
Okay. So you mentioned you are with someone right now. You mm-hmm. were with someone, or started dating someone when you first got here.
Yeah.
I'm not a lesbian. I'll put it out there. So I'm not sure how easy it was compared to Lawrence, or just sort of easy in general dating here.
Yeah, one thing back in Lawrence, like I mentioned earlier, that it's a small community there. So the two people that I ended up dating while I was in Lawrence were people I met through marching band. And one relationship only lasted a couple months. One was on and off for nearly a couple years. But coming here, somebody in the program I saw, like, I could tell that they were out and just started chatting. It became sort of like a friend thing, and then went on from there. Didn't end very well, but, sometimes things don't. Mm-hmm. I met my current girlfriend at Plan B, actually. I went out with a couple people that I was friends with from the rugby team, and through a friend of a friend of a friend, I think, we met each other and pretty much went from there. It's been mm-hmm. about 8 months now.
Okay.
Definitely, I think it was easier meeting people here, being open and having spaces to go to, like Plan B, or having the places and like that in the program that I can be out and I don't have to worry about it.
You talked about the debate in front of the Supreme Court, the gay marriage mm-hmm. debate. In my mind, that's an issue that has flipped rather quickly. Maybe not flipped, but flipped enough that there's now a majority.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the time I've been here, I've been here almost 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, as a lesbian and someone who thinks about, I'm assuming, has thought about gay marriage quite mm-hmm. a bit, do you sort of feel as I do that this change has been somewhat sudden in terms of at least getting the numbers on the side of being for gay marriage?
Yeah, I definitely think it has been quick, but it's been a long time coming. I think one of the big changes now is that my generation is of age where they can be politically active, and we are all, the majority of us are coming about and thinking this is going to be an issue, this shouldn't be an issue anymore. And so the generation of people my age and probably a few years younger are don't see why this should be an issue. And so we're being more vocal about it. And I think that's helped change a lot of opinion. I had something else. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, I do think that it's come quickly, but it has, like, it's been a lot of movement suddenly, but it has been a long time coming, as far back as Stonewall and before that. So.
Right. Yeah. And maybe it's, maybe in my mind, it's been coming up, mm-hmm. and it just didn't seem to take as long to get over at least the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a ways to go,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
And there probably will still be a ways to go, but it seems like we're on the downhill side of the mountain now instead of the uphill side of the mountain.
Yeah, because I saw something that Glenn Beck was even saying, that it's inevitable now. And, you know, Glenn Beck says it. But I do think I do agree that there's a long way to go, because even in my home state of Kansas, I could get kicked out of an apartment or lose a job just because I'm gay, which thankfully in Wisconsin, there are securities against that. But mm-hmm. in so many states, gay marriage is just the tip. That's not going to give us everything we need. If we can't be secure in our own homes and secure in our jobs, in Kansas, I think it was just sort of put into me that I needed to be careful in the workplace. Like, the people I worked with were great and they were fantastic once I was willing to be fully out with them, because mm-hmm. I started working there just before I came out. But yeah, gay marriage and all of the gay rights movement is starting to gain momentum, and I'm looking forward to see where it goes in the future. I don't think there's any way we can go back now.
Mm-hmm.
When 7, 8, 9, 10, how many states have gay marriage now? You can't start retreating from that, especially when so many people are pushing.
Right. So this is something I hadn't thought of. So you're graduating.
Yes.
We hope you're going to get a job, a great job, somewhere soon. Probably somewhere not here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So I'm curious if you look at, you know, as a lesbian, if you're looking at states that are more progressive, liberal, whatever, towards mm-hmm. Gay and lesbian and queer rights as opposed to those that aren't.
I'm definitely, before I met my current partner, it was definitely something that I was willing to go anywhere, and I looked at places that were more welcoming. But in this job atmosphere, a lot of us don't have the option of choosing things based on that. There are a few places that I wasn't willing to go, like Arkansas, places that just didn't seem to be that welcoming, and places that I couldn't really be that out. But if I was still completely geographically mobile, I would keep that into more consideration. My partner and I are hoping to move to St. Louis, because that's where her family is, and I've found a few decent job opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been looking very actively at the queer scene and the LGBT community centers and things like that. Well, last summer I played softball for Badgerland Softball, which is the local LGBTQ softball organization here. So I played with them last summer, and I did some Googling and found that there's one in St. Louis as well, which is also affiliated with the same overarching league as Badgerland. So that's been nice. We've been trying to find things there that we can get in touch with a queer community, because there are queer communities everywhere, but it's just a matter of finding them and finding those safe places.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri, thankfully, isn't as conservative as Kansas. There's definitely elements of it, but there are opportunities to be open and to be in communities that are welcoming.
Okay. So we talked about gay marriage and rights. You mentioned LGBT Campus Center. Have you taken advantage of or participated in or just sort of sat in on anything that the LGBTQ Campus Center, or is it just LGBT Campus Center here, has done?
I haven't been too active. I've been pretty involved with the three jobs and the other organizations I was involved in through SLIS. I've seen the stuff that they put out, which is great, and I'm on their mailing list. I just haven't been too active there. I've been more active in the LGBT community off campus. I think being a grad student, it seemed a little bit, it's not extremely geared towards undergrads, but I did go to Q Grads, which is the queer grad student group that meets on the terrace every week. So I went to that my first year quite a few times, and I met some people through that, which is pretty nice. And I think that's organized sort of tangentially through the LGBT Campus Center.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like, And I'm not saying it's easy to be, you know, a gay or lesbian anywhere, but it sounds like your 2 years in Madison, it wasn't too problematic to find like-minded folks, mm-hmm. places where you could feel comfortable, and just things that, you know, maybe a generation previously, or I know mm-hmm. a generation previously, it was more problematic.
Yeah, I definitely think it's been relatively easy to find those spaces, and I think a lot of it is thanks to the generations that came before us and have been fighting for things like that. Working here, I've listened to some of the oral histories from the LGBT program, and it's definitely interesting to hear the things that they went through just so that I can have a place like Plan B to go to and not have to worry. And so it compared to people that I've known from, I have friends that went to KU that got physically kicked out of their homes by their parents when they came out. So being here and being able to be out and be able to be freely open has really been a blessing.
You know, I'm not sure at this point I have anything else. I think, you know, we just sort of had a short mm-hmm. list of things that we want to talk yeah. about. I always want to give the narrator the last word. Are there things I see you have some notes jotted down there? Are yeah. things that you want to make sure you mention that you haven't yet?
Well, I think we really covered a lot of the notes that I had. One thing that I did note was the change in building a community. Was in college, I had marching band, and that was my main community, and I was able to be queer within that structure. Mm-hmm. And here in Madison, I was able to be queer of my own accord. I didn't have to be queer within the SLIS structure or queer within whatever other structure. I was just who I was, and it's been a breath of fresh air to be able to be here. And being queer doesn't define me, it's just a part of who I am. And mm-hmm. a lot of that in Kansas, I think if you're queer and very open and out about it, it starts to define you. So, and when I was in college, I was sort of probably defined by the fact that I was in marching band. I was an active leader in that, and I was in my band sorority and things like that. I was defined by music, and here it's just, I'm a person with various aspects, and being queer is just one of them.
Okay. Jen, anything else?
Not right now.
All right. Well, I think we knocked this thing out. So, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.